At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid and all across that Sports Grid network. It includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to look back on the weekend that was and to set the stage for this new week. We'll go around the association, the multiple games that we have missed since we were last together on a Friday morning, including a doubleheader on a Sunday, where we now have two series tied at two games apiece. We'll go around the weekend in Major League Baseball. Stanley Cup postseason action continues on the ice. DRS, 3 hours together here on this Monday to kick off a new week up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, sort of getting the people ready from Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. There were so many things that went down in the sports landscape. The playoffs have been absolutely phenomenal. Teams that were dead in the water getting 15-1 prices here to win an NBA championship are now back to about 3-4-1. We're talking about you, Denver Nuggets, back in that NBA landscape. Great stuff all the way through. And also, it is major championship week on the PGA Tour with the PGA it Championship. Is. So it's going to be an epic day here on a Monday to get it popping.
Did Scotty and Meredith have their kid? Mother's Day was yesterday. Apparently. Were they able to celebrate?
Apparently, it looks like it. Picture where the joke with the kid with the banged up foot coming out there is like, hey, slides around in the pocket there too much. Yeah, good little joke there, but it's time to win some PGA championships. Let's go. Come on.
It is a major championship week in golf with a ton of headlines entering, but we do have some breaking news bright and early on this Monday morning. The NFL schedule release date is on Wednesday, but over the next 48 hours up until Wednesday, we're going to have those dates start to trickle out just a little bit. And that includes the opening night of the 2024 NFL season. We already knew it was at the home of the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. For a second consecutive year, the season opens at Arrowhead. And now we know Kansas City's opponent. It's a rematch of last year's AFC championship game. The Chiefs will host the Ravens to start 2024. DRS, your reaction to the opening game of the 2024 NFL season being the rematch of last year's AFC title game between Lamar Jackson of Baltimore and Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City.
It feels like a home run, man. Like the NFL didn't miss on this one. I actually would have loved to have seen if it was the Texans for that next upcoming team to play them just to get that measuring stick game right out of the way. But you can't go wrong with two teams you expect to be there in the playoffs and possibly a preview already in week number one for the AFC championship game coming up next season here. I love it here. That just gets me so fired up. Can't wait for that Wednesday release of the schedule, but that's a good one. Opening night, everybody is going to be included to that one. Massive ratings across the board, no doubt.
Nobody works harder than the FanDuel Sportsbook. The line is already out for Thursday, September 5th, the opening game in Kansas City. The Chiefs, a slight 2.5-point home favorite with a total of 46 and a hook. They met last year in the AFC title game, and of course they will enter this year with the two shortest prices to win the AFC. Plenty more reaction comes your way in our second hour. All right, now time to look back on the weekend that was and the doubleheader in the NBA playoffs. playoffs for a second consecutive game. In Minneapolis, the Nuggets go on the road and win outright as an underdog. Nobody in this series so far through its opening four games wants to win at home, and the road team has been booked as an underdog in all four. This series now has life once again, tied at two games all as Denver wins 115-107 outright as an underdog last night in game number four.
Yeah, this series is far from over, even though the Denver Nuggets now have home court advantage wrestled back in basically a best of three. But that was tremendous. And we talked about this last week when we're just lining this game up and saying, you know what? Usually you like to get back on the court as quick as possible here once you lose basketball games. But we thought it was actually a positive that the Denver Nuggets were away for so long, just to recalibrate, get the team back together, work on some inefficiencies here. And here we go, 2-2 now. And all, if you were Minnesota, all you really want to do, yes, it could have been a four-game sweep. We get that. But if you're just looking honestly, take one of these two games at home. You're probably going to win this series. Now it's 2-2, advantage Denver Nuggets with all the momentum back and going back into their home building. That's a tough scene for Minnesota, who look like clear-cut one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best team in the NBA. Now back into the fold here. Good stuff as we go. Best of three now.
Listen, we got to fly around the rest of this segment, so just know we have plenty of reaction from the weekend around the association and yesterday's two games in this opening half hour. That includes the opening game of the day in Indianapolis. No OG Anunoby for a second consecutive game, and the Knicks certainly looked shorthanded. A shellacking yesterday in Indy, 121-89. The Pacers win by 32 points over New York. They take advantage at home, winning both games 3 and 4. This series tied at 2 games all. The Pacers easily cover as a 5.5-point favorite in game number 4.
I'm probably not getting OG Anunoby back anytime soon at this point either. That is a tough loss yesterday, because it's one thing to lose close, but when you lose in blowout fashion, now it's 2-2 going back to New York. You're going to need Brunson to step up and have those 40-plus point games to even have a chance here. Advantage Indiana right back in it.
The Florida Panthers lost the opening game of their second round series in the Stanley Cup postseason 5-1 against Boston. Since that point, it's been all Florida. It's been close, but it's been mostly Florida. Yesterday, 6-2 victory for the Panthers as they scored 3 straight goals to take game number 4 in Boston and take a 3-1 series advantage over the Bruins.
Yeah, that's a big comeback win there for the Panthers, taking that series back 3-1. No Marchand in that game, who I believe has a concussion that they call about what? Oh, look at this. It's an upper body injury. No, he has a concussion here. Who knows if he's going to be back for this series. But the Panthers, the better team in the regular season, now showing up here 3-1.
My mistake. Yeah, it is 3-1. All right. The ESPN app did not update. It is 3-1. Ben got that right. All right. Anyway, here we go around the rest of the NHL from yesterday. It has been a very, very back and forth series here. I know what I got wrong. I was looking at the wrong day. That's on me. The Panthers win yesterday 3-2, not 6-2. Anyway, in the second game of the day, the Vancouver Canucks on the road in Edmonton take game number 3 in a 2-1 series lead over the Oilers. This one has been incredibly tightly contested, decided by a goal in all three games. 4-3, the win yesterday for the Canucks in Edmonton. They now have a 2-1 series lead.
Jump out 3-1 in that first period for the Canucks. And again, I am rooting for the Oilers here, but boy, you got to play some defense. You got to get some better goaltending at this point. We understand the Oilers games technically always go to the over. You had to win that game last night. Vancouver now takes that series lead.
Yes, they certainly do. Before the doubleheader in the NBA postseason yesterday, we had the NBA draft lottery. Not a lot of fanfare or attention around it because of how poor this draft class is in 2024 compared to years prior. But we did have a huge upset yesterday. The Atlanta Hawks, who had just a 3% chance of getting the number 1 overall selection, pull the upset. The Atlanta Hawks earn the number 1 overall pick, and despite having the worst record in the NBA regular season for a second consecutive year, the Pistons for a second straight year fall into the 5 slot. Ping pong balls, not a favorite in the Motor City.
No, certainly not. But I do like this about the NBA. Like, you shouldn't get rewarded here just for tanking a season to get the number one overall pick. I do understand that. But also, if you are the Atlanta Hawks, boy, you stole one here. You would have loved it to have been last year, because this is one of those drafts like, okay, we got number one this year. Can we trade it for next year's number one or the following 2 years' number one at this point? Because you're right about that. There wasn't a lot of fanfare because, my goodness, this is a terrible NBA draft as it sets up to be.
We'll get Donnie's big board in hour number two. Yeah. Now to Major League Baseball. Brandon Nimmo walks it off on Sunday Night Baseball inside Citi Field. A two-run shot in the home half of the ninth to avoid the sweep against Atlanta with a 4-3 win. Rory McIlroy, looking for his first major championship in a decade, will enter Valhalla this week in the PGA Championship off a win at the Wells Fargo. Big one for Rory. Nelly Korda's win streak does come to a close. Back to the NBA playoffs next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A doubleheader in the NBA postseason on a Sunday. We start with the nightcap in Minneapolis between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. And nobody in this four-game set so far wants to win at home. In all four games, the road team, booked as at least a three-point road underdog, has won outright. That includes games 3 and 4. Last night in the Twin Cities, it's the Denver Nuggets tying this series at 2 games all with a 115-107 win over Minnesota. Again, Denver wins outright as a three-point road underdog. A total of 203.5 goes over. Why does nobody, Donnie Wrightside, want to win a game on their own home floor?
It's incredible to watch this play out because, you know, the Denver Nuggets last year won the NBA championship. They're not a fluke basketball team. And right through the final week of the season, Ben, they were aiming for that number one overall seed. They easily get through that first round series. Then you see round number two. Oh, look at that. Minnesota's just a better basketball team. You drop 2 games on your home court that you were dominant all year long. You figure the Timberwolves might not even have a series that needs to go back to Denver. We wake up, what, 48 hours later and find ourselves in a 2-2 series tie, which now Denver is the favorite once again. And we shouldn't be surprised. Yeah. 39 minutes out of Nikola Jokic, 15 of 26 from the court, from the floor, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and a block for 35 points in that game. But Aaron Gordon, 11 of 12 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3-point range, 27 total points. Other guys stepping up in big moments. Jamal Murray, 8 of 17 from the floor for 19 points. This was the sign of a champion getting up off the carpet. When we talked about it, Ben, all Minnesota really needed was a split at home. Just get a split at home, you're going to win the series. They couldn't do that. Now it's a best of three back to Denver. And also going on the road, Ben, 57% from the floor as a team, 45% from three-point range, 80% from the free throw line. That's a championship-caliber team stepping up when they needed it most, and they got the job done.
Absolutely so. Again, all four games, the road team in this series has won. They have been booked as an underdog of at least 3 points. Denver has now been a dog 3 times, including a slight underdog in game number 3 in their opening round series against the LA Lakers. And the Nuggets have won outright in all 3 games, booked as an underdog. Both games 3 and 4 in this series, the total has gone over because of Denver's scoring output. 117.90 on Friday night in game number 3. Barely over a total of 205, but still over that number. It's because of Nikola Jokic, who has shot better than 55% from the floor in both of the games in Minneapolis. It's because of the incredibly efficient night of Aaron Gordon, 11 of 12 from the floor last night, and Jamal Murray, the half-court heave and the miracle at the buzzer that had Kevin Harlan screaming in his face at the broadcaster's table. Good vibes for the Nuggets, who took a 15-point lead at the break yesterday, and it never really got to within single digits until the final few seconds of regulation. And this includes, Donnie, in game 4 yesterday, a 44-point performance from Anthony Edwards, who had all five starters for Minnesota scoring in double figures. If I were to say those words, and we love doing that here on our recaps, re-examining the box score, if I were to say the blanket statement, all five Timberwolves starters score in double figures, led by Anthony Edwards with 44, you ask how many points did Minnesota win and cover by? They lost by 8 in a game Denver really handled in the second half.
Yeah, you're right about that, too. And also, if you just take a look at that box score and say, just give me the numbers for the Minnesota Timberwolves as a team, 48% from the floor, around 40% from three-point range. Bad on the free throw line, only about 68%. But that should be enough to win at home at this point. And you're right. Your superstar gave you superstar action. 45 minutes played, 16 of 25 from the floor, which included 5 of 8 from three-point range and 44 points. He was absolutely spectacular yesterday, but it just wasn't good enough. I expect these performances now on a night-to-night basis from Anthony Edwards, but it's just a crime that you're at home, scored 44, and you lost this game. You needed one of those games, and they couldn't get it. But this just goes to show you, we don't play in a three-game series. We don't play on a night-to-night basis where, hey, look, it's a one-game series. You move on if you win, as if it was football. This is a seven-game series. You got to put the Denver Nuggets down for four games out of seven here in order to advance, and now that test just got tougher. But if you are Minnesota, you can't be flustered and say, man, we let this get away here. We never win in Denver. No, you won the first two games in Denver. You should be heading back there and saying, you know what? It's even now, so what? Let's take advantage of this with a chance to close out in game number 6. But I don't know where that's going to go at this point now, because Denver is starting to smell blood in the water. Like, okay, we felt you out. You played some good games here. Now we're even going back to our building. Let's see how we can handle our business here.
There should be, and obviously will not be, any let-up for the Denver Nuggets tomorrow night at home, back at altitude. The Nugs a 4.5-point favorite for game number 5. And now it is truly a best-of-3 series once again, where the Nuggets have home floor advantage in the Mile High City. The Timberwolves were a -215 favorite entering game number 4 last night. Minnesota was a -700 series outright favorite entering the weekend and Friday night's game number 3 back in the Twin Cities, because they had a 2-0 series advantage headed back home for the next two games in Minneapolis. But that's the NBA championship winning pedigree of the Denver Nuggets, who now are the series outright favorites once again. It's where they entered the series at a -205 price. DRS, there's the old adage in playoff action, regardless of the sport, a series doesn't really begin until a team wins on the road. What do you say for a series when a team hasn't won at home yet?
Yeah, usually you'd say to yourself, like, well, the series is going exactly the way Minnesota should have it, because they'll win in 7 in Denver. But we know the truth about that. Sooner or later, this is going to catch up to you. Denver's a great basketball team and great at home. I would be very surprised now if Minnesota goes in and wins game 5. But saying that, I've been very surprised at this entire series. So it wouldn't be that plausible if you see the Denver Nuggets lose on their home court, because that's what they've been doing here. But I do think Denver got that wake-up call. They got Minnesota's attention here. And now it's like, oh, no, it's a best of 3 where Denver should be able to pull this series out now.
Listen, the most likely outcome from the odds makers perspective, series correct score, team that wins, and in how many games, is Denver in 7 at +180. If you think the Nuggets can win the next 2, making it a 4-game sweep virtually after being down 0-2, the series spread, Denver covering a game and a half, winning in 6, +225, is better than Denver in 6 at +210. To Indianapolis we go next, between the Pacers and the Knicks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A blowout to start the doubleheader on Sunday of NBA playoff action in Indianapolis. The Pacers have made this a series as well. We are tied at 2 games all after a 32-point victory yesterday for Indiana at home inside the Gainbridge Fieldhouse. We knew the New York Knicks would head to Indianapolis shorthanded, and it reared its ugly head in game number 4. The Pacers win 121-89 to tie this series at 2 games apiece. That 32-point victory margin easily covers a 5.5-point spread in favor of Indiana. DRS, it's a series once again between New York and Indiana.
It is. And also, we've been watching the New York Knicks and sort of wondering, like, how can they continually get this done here? Like, Brunson does whatever he wants. Now he's injured. You lose OG Anunoby. It seemingly not matters. And then you take a look at games 3 and 4, which the Knicks actually played very close in game number 3. But game number 4, a completely different story. Look at the plus minus of the starting lineup for the New York Knicks here. DiVincenzo, minus 40. Hart, minus 29. Brunson, minus 27. Hartenstein, minus 28. Achiuwa, minus 22. They got damaged right off the bat, getting down 34-14, and it was a laugher the rest of the way. And the one thing you could say might be a silver lining here for those New York Knicks is they didn't have to play 48 minutes apiece. You could sort of rest some of those guys late in the game and say it just wasn't our night. But it's apparent right now, OG Anunoby going down with that injury is a massive, massive problem for the Knicks. You're not getting that secondary scoring and also that competitive defense. So this is going to be an interesting one to see moving forward. I still think the Knicks are in a decent position, but that's just based on if I'm going to get Brunson for 42 minutes and 42 points for out of those 42 minutes. It's a big-time home court advantage in the Garden, but boy, oh boy, they lost a lot of momentum going to Indianapolis.
It's a great point, DRS, if you're looking for a small silver lining for New York, because they were getting so heavily blown out and pretty much from the jump, Tom Thibodeau went against probably his philosophy and sat Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart for a good majority of that game. The game's leading minute player for New York was Miles McBride. That's Deuce off the bench with 32 minutes. Tay-Tay, Dante DiVincenzo, also 32 minutes. But DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson have all pretty much at bare minimum played more than 40 minutes throughout this series, throughout the entirety of the playoffs. Jalen Brunson has not scored 40 in either of the two games in Indiana. Yesterday, only 18 points. When we look at what's happened this weekend in Indianapolis, DRS, without OG Anunoby in game number 3, the Pacers were actually a heavier favorite, 7-point favorite at home against New York. Did not cover that number in a game that was much more competitive down to the final minute than maybe anybody really expected without OG Anunoby. The New York Knicks did cover, losing by 5, 111-106. Both games inside Madison Square Garden. Sail over a total. Yesterday's total of 219 and a hook stays under. 222 was the closing total for game number 3. It also stays under. So we head back to Madison Square Garden, but Dr. Donnie has been in front of this situation all along. Hamstring injuries do not just mend themselves with a couple of days off. You need some substantial time away from the floor. I don't know if we'll see OG Anunoby in game number 5 or the rest of this series. How do you feel about this second round set, even heading back to the Mecca?
Doesn't feel good here if you're a Knicks fan at this point because of what you just saw in game number 4. Eventually, the bottom is going to fall out. You can't play great every night. That doesn't mean everybody's going to have a disaster game all at once, and maybe that's a good thing here. 2 points out of Hart, 7 points out of DiVincenzo, and forget about Brunson. Only, as I say in quotation marks, scoring 18 in this one. You're going to have to change the tide, and that crowd's going to have to be a big advantage. But also, when you're dealing with hamstring injuries, I don't expect to see OG Anunoby back either for this game in the Garden as well. Maybe if the Knicks lose, you would see him like, you know what?
Yeah.
If I injure it again, I just hope it's not that bad. I got the whole summer to heal. Maybe I'll give it a go at this point. But if we're being honest with ourselves, we probably won't see him back for this series. And that was a devastating blow. And also, how well he was playing in game number 2 before he went out. You could have used that and say, wow, this Knicks team maybe can make a run to the NBA Finals. Now you're looking at the Knicks team as a shell of itself because OG Anunoby's not there on top of Julius Randle. And now, obviously, Mitchell Robinson. This is just a war of attrition right now for the Knicks. We'll see if they can rescue game number 5.
For the first time this series, the Pacers now a series outright favorite, minus 132 to win this series and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's a best of 3, and yes, New York has home floor advantage inside Madison Square Garden, but the odds makers don't really seem to stack it up in favor of the Knicks. What it means for the overall future in the NBA playoffs next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, as we look at where things stand following the weekend now in the NBA postseason, we move things forward in terms of those NBA championship odds. And as the story really has gone here, DRS, in this second round, the conference semifinal series around the association, the Celtics remain an odds-on favorite, and the number continues to grow stronger and stronger in favor of the Cs, minus 140. Boston now an NBA title favorite once again with that very strong minus money price. They have been the title favorite all year long and into minus money starting with this second round, but there it is at minus 140. The biggest change, of course, is Denver evening its second round series against Minnesota. And now the number on the Denver Nuggets +370. At certain points in the opening round, about 10, 11 days ago, it was plus 115 for Boston, not far behind the Nuggets by just over a buck at plus 230. But Denver entering the weekend, as Donnie astutely pointed out, if you had any belief in the reigning NBA champs, the Nuggets, that 15-1 price to win the NBA championship looked rather enticing. It's now plus 370.
It was enticing, and I didn't take any piece of it because I was trying to just understand the math of it all, right? You're saying, all right, let's just say it's a 2-0 series lead. You go back to Minnesota. We might not even get to a game five. Forget about the Denver Nuggets making it competitive. But also just doing the math, winners of 4 out of 5 games moving forward is what we have to see here out of the Denver Nuggets. I didn't know if that was possible because of how well also that we were watching the Minnesota Timberwolves play. They didn't barely get by their first round series against the Suns. They eviscerated the Suns, and it looked like they were going to eviscerate the Denver Nuggets. But here we are, the heart of a champion tied up at 2 after 2 big performances in Minneapolis over the weekend. Interested to see what we get out of Game 5 because, as I talked about earlier, Ben, I don't think it's one of those things where the Timberwolves like, oh, no, we had our chance, didn't come away with that. That would be if you were still in a 3-1 disadvantage here. It's still 2-2. You already won 2 games on the home court here for the Denver Nuggets, so I'm not going to brush this one away, but the 15-1 was so enticing, I didn't take it because, quite frankly, it didn't make sense to. That was such a long shot. Also, maybe a little bit differently, Ben, like, okay, we lost 2 games on the home court here, but now we're going back home. It was the complete opposite for the Nuggets. They dropped their home games before going on the road. You're not supposed to be alive even in this moment today. We should already be talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves moving forward, and now we have a 2-2 series tie. So the 15-1 was astronomical, but I just couldn't find a way to actually take it. But if you did, congratulations. You're in business now.
I mean, DRS, it's a great point, too, to follow your great point. It was a great conversation to have in the idea of all of that plus money with the Denver Nuggets, who have the championship-winning pedigree, made a lot of sense just from that standpoint. But logistically, as you tried to paint the path to how you would cash that ticket or even see a cash-out or hedge-out opportunity on that large 15-1 number, it was a steep hill to climb. It wasn't as though Denver was the underdog in the opening 2 games on the road in Minneapolis, where the Timberwolves had home floor advantage. The Nuggets looked awful in Denver and had to go to the Twin Cities against a team in Minnesota that looked the part of a Western Conference championship contender. And I still believe the T-Wolves are, but it's a little bit of a different story. Donnie, let's focus on the Western Conference because that is really the conversation at this moment. Somebody is going to win the second round series between Indiana and New York, but as we'll show you, the odds makers not all that optimistic about either team, the shorthanded and banged up Knicks, or the Pacers really giving Boston all that much trouble. And the Celtics do what they do. They either win by double digits or they lose a game 2 by double digits. So let's go to the Western Conference, where things look incredibly different right now on this Monday from even where we were on a Friday afternoon, just about 3 days ago. The Nuggets return to the championship favorites in the Western Conference at plus 135. Dallas, second best number. The Mavs, a 2-1 series advantage over OKC, a very slight home favorite for game number 4 of that set tonight. How do you evaluate these Western Conference title odds where at a 5-1 price, Oklahoma City might be in the cellar at the moment, but there's not that large of a gap between these 4 teams?
Yeah, unlike the Eastern Conference, we are getting massive swings on a night-to-night basis, game-to-game basis here in the Western Conference. As we talked about the Denver Nuggets, I think, what were they, like a 7-1 price here to win the West coming after that 0-2 series that they had at home before they went to Minneapolis. Now they're back to the favorite at plus 135, and they should be. But how about the Dallas Mavericks surge up the board here to a plus 260 price? We looked at game number one where you saw the Thunder easily handle their business. Then they got shocked on their home court to make it 1-1 going back to Dallas. Now Dallas has the 2-1 series lead over the Thunder, and they drop back to a 5-1 price. We're not burying the Oklahoma City Thunder at this point, and you are getting a pretty good return on a 5-1 for a team that has the number one overall seed. All it takes here for the Oklahoma City Thunder is get a victory in Dallas, go back, and again, a best of three on your home court, just like you have there with the Denver Nuggets. And if both of those teams do advance, we have to remind ourselves, OKC does have home court advantage being the top overall seed. So I think this is exactly where you want to be. The interesting part is going to be the Timberwolves, who were the favorites before we flipped home court from Denver over to Minneapolis. How do they rebound? Yeah. Because I don't look at that series. Like sometimes I'm looking at that series like Indiana, even though they're going back to New York, like, hey, this is Indiana's series to win. I'm not necessarily looking at it as Denver's series to win because of how well the Timberwolves played in those first two games. And they were competitive in those previous two. But having said that, you just expect the home team to win. So if I'm looking at the betting markets right now, plus 135, a little bit too low. Dallas Mavericks, I don't know if they can win this series, even though they're up 2-1. So my focus actually would be on the Timberwolves and the Thunder at some pretty good price points right now.
Yeah, I think both of those series in the Western Conference are a toss-up at this moment. Again, OKC is an underdog for game number four tonight in Dallas, now down 2-1 in this series, and they've dropped two in a row. But it's not insurmountable. Don't believe me. Look at the odds. OKC is a slight one-point dog tonight in Texas with about 22 cents of distinction in the money line numbers. It's not like Oklahoma City lost Chet Holmgren or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and is now an 8.5-point underdog for game number four tonight. And despite Denver showing that championship DNA, I'm not like, all right, it's over. Denver is in six, not even going to be competitive. What we've seen so far is the road team winning every game, even booked as an underdog. The T-Wolves, a 4.5-point underdog for game number five back at altitude tomorrow night. In the Eastern Conference, DRS, the Indiana Pacers are a series outright favorite now against the shorthanded New York Knicks. We do not expect to see OG Anunoby return for game five or maybe for the rest of this set. If he does, that would be an upset in itself. And we can see how that is reflected in the Eastern Conference title odds. I will say Indiana, the series outright favorite, now in a best of three virtually, tied at two games all, but a longer price than the Knicks in the Eastern Conference title odds.
Yeah, and I'm interested here in the Pacers, but also we actually don't know what we're going to get in the next round. The reason I say this is we know the Boston Celtics are really good, but they're playing two teams back-to-back here that a little bit offensively challenged for the most part. That's not what the Pacers are.
Yep.
The Pacers got great offense here and could certainly execute, and the question has always been with the Pacers, what's that tempo going to translate from regular season to postseason, and also how is their defense going to do? The defense was tremendous yesterday, but again, it feels like the Knicks are a little bit offensively challenged now, banged up with Brunson, obviously Anunoby is out, and you're expecting guys like Dante DiVincenzo to score 25-plus points on a night-to-night basis along with Hart. That's not going to get it done. But I think that price point of 10-1 is pretty interesting as you move forward. But having said that, they still have to win this series. They still don't have home court advantage from the New York Knicks, and the Celtics certainly are a wagon with that. You got our attention in game number two. Now we'll bust you up in game three and four before you head back to the TD Bank Garden. But that 10-1 price, I got to tell you, is a little bit intriguing here for the Pacers. And that's not for the NBA championship. That's just to win the conference.
Yeah. I do really wonder what the Eastern Conference Finals number is going to be in favor of Boston. Just for the sake of context in comparison, the Celtics were a minus 1,500 series outright favorite entering the opening game of this second round set against Cleveland. Boston, an 8.5-point road favorite tonight in the land for game number four after winning by 13 on Saturday in game number three. We'll look at those games later in our second hour around the weekend in MLB. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Around Major League Baseball from the weekend that was, your daily Diamond Dash covering a couple of days throughout our weekend sets around MLB. And we start with the team that has the most wins in the American League, make it 27 now for the New York Yankees on Lucas Gill Sunday, otherwise known as Luis Gil, our guy here. And it was a shutout performance for Gil on the bump. The Rays did then score some runs against the Yanks and that bullpen, but New York does win 10-6 yesterday over Tampa as a minus 118 money line favorite on the road in the Trop to win this weekend series over Tampa.
Yeah, good performance yesterday for the Yankees. And also keep in mind, that was a 6-0 lead for the New York Yankees before a grand slam helped a bottom of the seventh inning 5-run affair, which made it 6-5. But a sign of a good team here. The Yankees put 4 on the board in the top of the eighth inning and easily win. Yesterday for me, loved Aaron Judge to get an RBI, hit that with a home run. And also, I know it's not much. We're talking about Aaron Judge hitting around 200 now hitting 235. Stanton with a lot lower numbers. Now, granted, yesterday Stanton only went 1-for-4, but now he's at 230. If you can get both of those guys at 250-plus here and hitting with power, that's going to be nice. But that's a good win for the Yanks, 27-15 on the season, held off Tampa Bay there with a good offensive performance. And again, 16 runs in the Trops, usually tough to come by. It's a good offensive day all throughout, but love Judge hitting that home run, and good on the Yankees here for holding off and not collapsing in that ballgame.
3 home runs for Aaron Judge in the last 5 games for New York, including 6 RBIs in that span. As Donnie said, not much, still early and only batting 235, but improvement and growth, which is always a good thing. Luis Gil this year, 4-1 now with a 2.51 ERA after that shutout start on the bump against the Rays yesterday. Of course, it was the Yankees winning a second consecutive series after handling Houston throughout the midweek up in the Bronx. But Houston has bounced back. They avoided the sweep against New York, winning the finale of that set before they headed to the Motor City this weekend to take on Detroit. Houston wins yesterday 9-3 as a slight road underdog against the Tigers. 9-3 goes over a total of 7.5. The Astros win 2 of 3 games this weekend with the final victory in the Bronx. The Astros have won 3 of their last 4. Again, a large hill to climb for Houston to even get back to 500, albeit a winning record. But the Astros have to start somewhere. Is this the start?
Yeah, maybe it is. And again, you look at that lineup here, Tucker, Pena, Alvarez, and Bregman, the first 4. I said, whoa, where's Altuve? Not playing yesterday, but Tucker comes up in that RBI spot. He gets 2 RBI, which included a home run yesterday, and they needed that. So if you're looking at Houston, sometimes, Ben, you got to take those baby steps, right? 2 out of 3, you just want to put series wins together. And I always use that adage, like, you can't make up 6.5 games in 2 days here. You got to just continue to win. Hopefully those teams come back. And also keep in mind, not a lot of teams absolutely on fire out there in the AL West. So forget about the wild card positioning here. The Houston Astros today on May the 13th, I believe it's 6.5 games back out of first place. That's not a ton to make up over a summer here. So maybe they can get on a charge. Just a little caption from yesterday. I Carpenter to get an RBI, Ben. These are the ones you always hate. Let me explain this. Now, they were way out of this baseball game. But what you love is you don't have those closers in late in the game. So, okay, let me see if I can get one. Badu pinch hits right before Carpenter comes up, Ben, with one out. He gets a triple. The runner does score. Like, awesome, man. Carpenter must have done that with a single. No, he didn't. He gets the single after a balk. Let Badu score from third base. Those are tough scenes, bad beats that you get late in those games. But the Astros, 9 runs here. They'll take that easy victory. And also, Verlander gets the win clean, too, Ben. 7 innings, 6 no earned runs, man. You got to love that.
Justin's gem, as the caption says, 7 innings, only 2 hits allowed, striking out 8. Mm-hmm. That's some shutout baseball from the veteran in Justin Verlander. And it seemed for a while that maybe he wasn't going to get the offensive support. It wasn't until the 2-run shot from Kyle Tucker in the top of the 6th that opened up the scoring. The game looked a little bit closer, at least the 3-1 scored by the Tigers when this was out of hand. The Astros were up 9-0 heading into that home half of the 9th inning. And to Donnie's point, yes, Houston's still 10 games below 500, but only 6.5 games back of the Rangers, who have the best record in the AL West, but they're just 3 games above 500. The Mariners only 2 games above 500. The A's have the third best record in this division. Houston plus 260 60 to win the American League West. They enter the year as a pretty heavy odds on favorite. They're only just over a buck behind the Mariners, actually, who have the best price and are the divisional favorites at a plus 145 number. Weekend finale yesterday in the Southern California contest between the Padres and the Dodgers. L.A. scores zero runs as San Diego wins 4-0. Yu Darvish gets the better of Walker Buehler. His second start in nearly 2 years since June of 2022, does allow three earned and only 3 1/3. Yu Darvish, 7 innings of shutout baseball, only giving up 2 hits yesterday against L.A., again, as the Padres blank the Dodgers and a 4-0 win.
Yeah, Darvish almost had similar line as Verlander here. 7 innings pitched, no earned runs, 2 hits. That's a phenomenal start against your division rival, which gives the Padres the weekend series. Also returned the favor. Saturday night, it was the Dodgers blanking the Padres. Sunday, it was the Padres blanking the Dodgers. Also keep in mind, Ohtani left Saturday's game with back tightness. Did not play at all yesterday. And boy, they missed that big bat in the lineup. But a solid win again. Luis Arraez only 1-for-4, but did pick up an RBI. And how about this? First three guys in lineup, Arraez, Tatis Jr., and Cronenworth all got RBI. RBIs along with Xander Bogaerts. Nice win for the Padres. Now above 500 on the season of 22-21.
The Dodgers ever so slightly a favorite yesterday at minus 112. Total did stay under 7.5. In fact, all three games this weekend staying under their pregame numbers. San Diego does win the series 2-of-3 against their California rivals. And now because of it, as Donnie just said, San Diego a game above 500 at 22-21. The Dodgers have still won 8 of their last 10, 15 of their last 19. Pretty good baseball here for the Dodgers well into May. And because of it, LA remains the World Series favorites at 3-1. Now nearly a $2 gap between Los Angeles and Atlanta. It's plus 300 for the Dodgers. It's plus 470 for the Braves. The Yanks, the best price out of the American League at 7-1. Plenty more coming your way around the diamond from this previous weekend as we look back on what happened in Major League Baseball. All that and more up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We finish our weekend recap around Major League Baseball, and not just how the series came to a close yesterday on a Sunday, but a Saturday inside PNC Park in Pittsburgh. First, we go to the series finale between the Cubs and the Buccos. Chicago wins 5-4 in extras in a wild game in the 10th inning. Chicago was a slight road money line favorite, minus 120. Game goes over 8.5 despite DRS at the end of regulation. This game being tied at 2. The Cubbies score 3 in the top of the 10th. The Pirates respond with 2 of their own in the home half of the frame, and Chicago ekes one out to hold on with the 5-4 victory to win the series.
24-17 now on the season. And yesterday, good for your boy DRS. Cody Bellinger up there went 1-of-5, but look at that. He did get an RBI yesterday, so everybody was happy in this household. But certainly, you like that if you're the Cubs. You're handling your business on the road, which is something they've been okay with, Ben, at 11-11 on the season. But beating division rivals, that's what you need to do to get the job done. The Pirates, who were so, so promising, Ben, to start this season, maybe they're saying, all right, maybe a young rookie phenom can come up and sort of hold the attention of the soul. Our crowd that we saw on Saturday, huh?
A little bit of that promise, perhaps, on Saturday in Pittsburgh. Skeens Saturday in Paul Skeens' Major League Baseball debut. The number one overall pick from this past summer in 2023, making his first start in the bigs. Only 4 innings, just 84 pitches, a little bit off and on, but showing some of those flashes of potential greatness on Saturday. What a photo. Barely see the guy's face. 4 innings of work for Paul Skeens. 7 strikeouts, though, in DRS. That's really the promise of Paul Skeens. teens, a fastball that stays consistently in triple digits, and he had those seven punch-outs yesterday, or on Saturday, rather. Chicago and Pittsburgh in a wild game that featured a couple of delays. The Buccos do win 10-9 to get a victory in Paul Skenes' debut. A little bit up and down, but again, seven strikeouts. That's the promise and perhaps the expectation of what Skenes can do now in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and at least over a dozen pitches, over 100 miles an hour from a starter is pretty crazy as well. You knew the adrenaline certainly was jacked up. Four innings pitched, six hits, three earned runs, seven Ks, did have two walks there. He'll get better and better as time goes on, and you know a lot of those nerves were out there for him. But also, yes, I do like that picture. Like, that could be Mitch Keller right now. We have no idea if that is Paul Skenes or not. But, hey, they still got the win, which is the most important, and we'll see in his next start if he can rebound and say, you know what, let me go five innings. Let me be the pitcher of record here. And hold the team to two runs or less. We'll see if he can do that.
So when we looked at the National League Central, there are two teams well above 500, and there are three other teams well below 500. That includes Pittsburgh at 18-23. The Cardinals finally snap a seven-game losing skid yesterday to avoid the weekend sweep against the Brewers. Milwaukee still paces the division a half game in front of the Cubbies, 24-16 for Milwaukee, 24-17 for Chicago. Elsewhere around the weekend in Major League Baseball, we talked about the walk-off winner for the New York Mets to avoid the sweep yesterday inside Citi Field. Sunday Night Baseball, Brandon Nimmo, two-run shot in the home half of the ninth, but Atlanta does win the weekend series 2-1.
Yeah, and by the way, the Phillies, who lost yesterday to the Marlins, who were bad, but they lost with one of their aces on the mound, which was kind of interesting to me, but also with your ace on the mound who is in the Cy Young race, you got buoyed to a three-run home run in the first inning by Nick Castellanos, and Wheeler couldn't hold on to that, so they lose in extra innings. But again, you can't win every series, every game. You just hope you do win those series and stack up those advantages. 28 wins for the Phillies here. Braves now with 24. Big series coming up between the Phillies and the Mets. But good stuff around Major League Baseball. I'm just hoping after this weekend, Ben, let's get to some of the warmer temperatures, man. Enough with the 50s and 55-degree days here. Let's get to those 70s and 80s and really see that ball. Travel.
Listen, next weekend, not this upcoming weekend, but next weekend following is Memorial Day, a huge moment in the Major League Baseball calendar. It's where teams really reset and look at what the rest of the summer is going
day
to hold.
Monday?
The unofficial start to summer, and you got it. No, not day off Monday. Oh, maybe day off Monday. I'm not entirely sure.
Now.
We'll have to check in with El Jefe, Greg Sussman. By the way, Donnie, look at a couple of these results from the weekend. The Rockies sweep the World Series champs, the Rangers, the only sweep of the weekend. The White Sox, after Cleveland wins yesterday, do not pull off the sweep over the Guardians, but Cleveland got beat 3-1 in that series against Chicago. Vinny P didn't play on Mother's Day, and yet the Royals win a 4-game set out in Anaheim, 3-1. We, again, got to reach out to Vinny Pasquantino's representation to get him on the show. Hour 2 comes your way up next here on the Early Line.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.